This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, it is Wednesday, 10 past 11. And as always, we're talking parenting. This is Bump and Beyond, and I'm your host, Yolandi Becker. This week, we are talking one of my favorite topics, sleep. We're talking about specifically where your child should be sleeping. I cannot tell you, this is one of the most asked questions that people ask me when they find out what I do for a living. They're always like, where's the best place for your child to sleep? And also, shockingly, and I do want to talk about that as well with my guest today, is also shockingly the amount of people, the safety of sleep, where your child is sleeping is, I can tell you, every single person that I've helped, there was something that they, it's not necessarily that they did completely wrong, that I also have to say, but that there was something that needed to change when it comes to the safety and how little people know about safe sleeping when it comes to where your baby should be sleeping. And that's interesting. And I think it's really just about educating people. I really, obviously, we want our children to be as safe as possible when they're sleeping. Of course, we want that as parents. So again, as I always say, it's not that you did something wrong. Wrongdoing implies that you intentionally did something to get a result. And in this case, it's often just a lack of information or of education, of knowing better. And that's what we also want to talk about. So not just about where your child should be sleeping, but where is the safest place as well for your child to be sleeping. I remember both my children from the very beginning, they slept in their own rooms. But I do have to say, I think if I had a third one, I would be co-sleeping for the rest of my life. because I also know how, yeah, that's maybe why one of the reasons why my husband got a vasectomy is because of that. but maybe I'm oversharing now, but that's the motto of the show. If you didn't know that, please go listen to all of my podcasts that are available on Hi FM, and then you'll get to know me a lot better. But like I said, my children were from the start in their own rooms, mainly for the reason as well that I had a friend. Oh, I still have the friend. Luckily, her children are now out of their room. But I had a friend, and she had like a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old. That was still in her room by the time my children were born. And I was so like, please, I don't want that. It was really something that I was like so passionate about. I was like, I just don't want my children to be 7 and 10 and still be in my room. So it was a personal choice. Again, if I now had another third one, I can promise you I would have the opposite probably of that. For what reason, I don't know. I do know the reason because then that one will never, ever leave me. I'll have two very, very independent children and one that will stay with me forever. But that's also how parenting changes your perception and your life and your values and all those type of things. And I mean, I think that's also why this show is so great. I want you, as always, to be part of this conversation. So share with me. If you're a grandma, where does your grandkids sleep? Where did your kids sleep? Because that's also different, I feel. My mom, you know, I never got sweets as a kid, but as a grandma, she's very nice with sweets. But I want you to share. So please do send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. If you have the Hi FM app, obviously you can interact with us through there as well. So share with us, where's your child sleeping? Where do you want them to sleep? But to talk with me about this wonderful topic, I have Good Night Sleep Consultant here, Janine Rudwig. Hello, Janine. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, Yolandi. Thank you for having me on the show. I look forward to it.
Where did your kids sleep when they were babies? I know they don't sleep with you in the room anymore.
Yes, my kids. And again, as you said, it's a very personal choice. But I was just that mom that could not sleep if they were in my room. So they slept in their own room from the first day we came from hospital.
Yes. No, I also, like I said, I also did the same. Again, I might change my mind now. But I also agree with you. I think that was also the reason. I'm a super light sleeper. I already struggled to get used to sleeping with my husband in the room. We can't even, like, I can't have dogs or pets or something like that. The cat can't sleep. I have to close the door and the cat has to be, because if they start with that little pushing on the bed, no. Anyway.
And then you turn into grumpy mom.
And again, I think it was also for me, it also doesn't mean I remember there was a period also because Oscar in his room had a cot or a bed with his cot, obviously, but there was also a bed, like a single bed in the room. So I do remember that there was times where I passed out on that bed when he was a newborn, where I would feed him, I would go and feed him, and then I would just be like, okay, no, this is fine because I know I'm going to. So in some ways, I guess I did co-sleep for a little bit. But yes, maybe that's a good starting point is for me as well, just to clarify when we talk about where a child should be sleeping. So I'm very sure lots of people are familiar with the term of co-sleeping. You do have to remember that when we talk about co-sleeping, there's two different variants of co-sleeping. There's what we refer to as bed sharing and then also room sharing. Both of those things are considered co-sleeping. But one is then obviously bed sharing where your child is with you in the bed, but you can also be co-sleeping with your child with you just in the room. You agree with my terminology, right?
Yes, 100%.
What would you say if someone would ask you, Yanine, what's the best way to sleep? What would you say? Where is the best place for my child to sleep? What would your answer be to that?
Well, for me, obviously, firstly comes safety. So we first need to make sure, depending on the child's age, that the sleep environment is safe. So if it's a baby, if the parent wants to co-sleep, it needs to be in a co-sleeper. Bed sharing is not safe with babies because beds aren't made for babies. They should be in their own sleep zone because a bed has lots of pillows and blankets. That's really not safe. They also overheat a lot quicker than we do. And it is a personal choice as well. So first comes safety, then it becomes a personal choice of what would the parents like to do. And both parents try to get onto the same page. It's not always easy. But what is the plan? Where would you like your baby to sleep eventually or in the beginning? And you know, come to an agreement there.
I also like that you were mentioning there now also it's a parental choice because that's also often, I think as moms, I was one of those controlling mothers. My poor husband, luckily he's still married to me. We made it through the baby stages alive and still married. But I was with Oscar all the time in the beginning. I think I did it slightly better when the second one came around. But because I was with Oscar all the time, I knew I could do certain things better. You know, like change the nappy, feed him, all those things because I did it 500 times more than him. And then sometimes blocked him in certain ways to even get the opportunity to do that. And because I had this, I don't know, power, I mean, he has useless nipples. Come on. I don't feel it was an unseen kind of power that I had. But in the same breath, I think that's lots of moms that we then believe it's our choice. We see us as we are the parents. So we sometimes even talk like that. It's like my kid, my baby. And it's
we'll talk about the dad babysitting.
Yes, and then we do that. And in some ways, I think that, and that's an important distinction I feel to make is when you're talking about where your child's sleeping and the choice of where it is, I don't feel it's just mom's choice. I think unless you're a single parent, then obviously you can do whatever you want to. But in the end, you are parenting with someone. And if you're constantly blocking them in all ways, including these choices, I do think it can have an impact. And so it is a parental choice, but more on that just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we are talking parenting. And today, we're talking with a very popular topic, sleep, of course, but specifically where your child is sleeping? And again, this is one of the questions I get the most. And it's also quite a contentious issue. I feel like some people are sometimes very hesitant to answer because people think I'm going to judge them if they tell me, oh, my child's sleeping with me in the bed or my child's sleeping with me in the room. But as my guest, who is Good Night Sleep Consultant Janine Rudwig, who we're talking about, also mentioned is that this is a very personal choice. Safety should be your first and foremost consideration. And we're going to talk a lot more about that because there's a couple of things I do want to talk about on that note. But on the same breath, it is a parental choice. You and your partner need to make the choice where your child should be sleeping. Because there is, now I can tell you from a sleep consultant perspective, sleep can happen either way. Whether your child is with you in the room or not. Okay. But sometimes it can be better if your child is with you in the room. And sometimes it can be better if your child's not with you in the room. And Janine, you mentioned that already. Like you are a light sleeper. You didn't want your child to be in the room with you. But in the same breath, you get moms who are super anxious about the safety of their children. And in those cases, it might be helpful if the baby is not too far from the mom because she might be lying awake the whole night wondering if her child is okay.
Definitely, definitely. And I think that as well, I mean, if that gives mom the safety and security knowing she can just reach over, check her baby's still breathing, and that gives her more sleep, then great. Yeah. You know, whatever gives everybody better sleep, then I think, and it's happening safely, then I think that is the priority.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is also, so the American Pediatric Association does recommend room sharing up until the age of, I want to say 6 months, but now I'm, yeah, 6 months. I'm like, look at my grade skills, yeah. So it is recommended that your child is, but again, you need to remember there's a difference between bed sharing and co-sleeping is bed sharing or room sharing. So we definitely recommend room sharing for small babies, especially when your baby's a newborn. You are going to have to feed them at night. So if you, like me, had to get up, walk to another room, feed your baby, and you don't have a bed to pass out, it might take you a little bit longer to fall asleep if you have that whole action. So if your baby is right next to you in a safe cot or Moses bassinet or whatever, basket, then it's just feeding them and putting them back again. And then your sleep might be better in that way. So it is, but again, in a safe sleep or co-sleeper right next to you or in a cot or bassinet right next to you. But there's then other considerations. What are some of the other considerations people need to think about when deciding where your child should be sleeping?
I think it also depends on the parents' routine. For example, if dad has to have an alarm for 4 a.m. to get up for work, that is going to disrupt a baby's sleep. And at that time of the morning, getting your baby back to sleep is not usually easy because your awake hormones started to work. They've possibly had about 10 hours of sleep already. So then it's not going to be so easy to get them back to sleep. And they also have a lot of light sleep. So if it is a situation where there will be movement in the room after bedtime or early in the morning, or maybe if dad snores a lot or anything like that, that is going to affect your baby's sleep because they have so much light sleep and they get easily woken up by noises.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree. And I mean, I always, when parents, when I assist parents with sleep, I always, if the child is in their room or wherever, I always mention it's a discussion point. Let's discuss where your child is sleeping because I think it's such an important and interesting topic because for me, it's also so many moms spend how many months before during pregnancy creating a baby room and the most beautiful baby rooms. And then baby comes and then the baby's never in that room. And then I'm always like to parents, like at one point, obviously you did have the intention of wanting your child to be in that, I assume, if you've created that whole room for them, I assume, again, also, we have to keep in mind that there's lots of things we as parents say, we're never going to do before we have children, and then we end up doing those things. So again, there, your life and your perceptions, your values, what you find important really does shift when you have children. So if you maybe decided beforehand you want them to sleep in their own room and you change your mind, that is also allowed. That's also just what I want to say. It is allowed. But again, if you've created this beautiful, safe space for them, you're leaving them in that beautiful, safe space to sleep. It's not like you're going to be leaving them in a drug den. also just creating that perception for parents that they realize that it is not, and these days you get such great baby monitors, video monitors and those things. So you can actually literally stalk your child if you want.
Yeah, but that was for me. I felt so much safer with my baby in her cot with her breathing monitor on than possibly putting her in the bed with me, because I had nights where she woke up, I lost count so many times that eventually I brought her to my bed before I knew better, and she didn't sleep better. Yeah. I slept much worse. And it was just, it was just something that did not work for us. And I felt like, see, she is so much safer in her own space than right next to me. I'm sleep deprived. Dad is tired, it's just not a safe situation.
No, I agree with you completely. And again, bed sharing is not recommended by any pediatric association and also not by the World Health Organization. It's adult beds are not made for babies. So they can suffocate with the bedding. Obviously, the bigger they get, they start moving around and they can fall off the bed. And the reality is that moms, if you use medication, alcohol, anything like that, there is a possibility that you can roll onto your baby and suffocate them. Luckily, it's very interesting, this as well, is that normally moms have a mechanism apparently that avoids us from doing that. We have this internal mom thing, like lots of cool things we have. We also have very useful nipples. but dads don't have that. So fathers, if your husband's a very good sleeper, which most husbands are, they do have the possibility that they could, suffocate your child. And I mean, the chances of any of these things are obviously minuscule. Yeah. But why increase the chances by 0.5% or 1% if you don't have to? If you're going to be co-sleeping, you just need to do it safely. So either have a safe co-sleeper next to the bed, or just have a cot or a bassinet next to the cot to safely do it. So your baby is right by you, but next to them in their own safe space. And I mean, that's like Janine mentioned earlier, is safety is one of the biggest things, concerns when choosing where your baby should be sleeping. Another thing is as well is that your baby cannot be in a bassinet for long. Also not most cots as well has this where you can have it on the upper level and then later you can move it to the lower level. At the latest, you should move the cot to the lower level or move your baby from a bassinet to a cot on the lower level at the latest at 5 months. And 5 months is actually pushing it, I have to say. As soon as your baby can sit up, they can look over the side. And they are top heavy, meaning their heads are heavier than the rest of their body. So if they look over the side, they can fall out of the cot, and you don't want that. So from, I would say, between 4 and 5 months, you need to start moving your baby out of the bassinet and also to lower the level of the cot so that it's on the lowest level. In essence, you can already do it once your baby's neck is stiff, because the reason why we have these is because you can't pick them up very effectively when their head is all floppy. So when they're very low down, it's not good for your back, apparently. If you've just joined me, you are on Bump and Beyond with me, Yolandi Becker, and we are talking where your baby should be sleeping. Where's the best place for your baby to sleep? There is no best place. That's kind of what we've established for. Just as long as it's a safe space, that's the most important part. My guest today is Good Night Sleep Consultant Janine Rutwig, and we are talking about that. But like I said, as always, We want you to be part of the conversation. So if you have any questions or comments that you want to add, let us know where your child is sleeping. You can send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. Let us know where your child has been, where your child's sleeping, or where your grandkids slept, or where your kids slept before you had grandchildren. Is your daughter really adamant about where the baby should be sleeping and you don't agree? Send that to us. We would love to have that input. Don't fret if you've only just joined us. Luckily, this conversation and all of the shows that we've had is available on a podcast on highfm.com. You can go have a look at it. I feel like we've already got a very nice library of different topics that we've covered with really great experts, from breastfeeding to sleep to psychology, postnatal depression. We've covered really a lot. So please go have a look at that. You can go listen to that at your own leisure and time, wherever you are, on our HiFM app as well. It is available. And of course, like I said, on HiFM.com. So Janine, we now spoke about, it's a personal choice. Your child can be anywhere. We talked about the safety issues. And I mean, I think, like you mentioned, like where the external factors, like if your husband is waking up in the morning, obviously that's going to be a big consideration. But in the same breath, I also feel the bedtime is also a little bit of, babies go to bed at 7 and parents don't. That could also have an impact. And if you go later into the room, you could be waking your child up. If you then do decide, though, that you want your child to be in your room, is there ways that you can help with that?
Yes, definitely. So, I mean, environmentally, you can obviously make it easier. So usually when there is room sharing, it's a really good idea to implement some form of white noise, because that is something that drowns out other noises and sudden noises that happen. As long as it is a sound that is monotonous and it can continue for the entire sleep, because otherwise it is something that will actually end up waking you or your baby up if it stops during the night. And other things like having a dark room, even when you're in your own room alone or your baby's in their own room, having a dark room is really important to comfortable sleep, and having a good sleeping temperature is obviously also important. But I think in terms of the room sharing scenario, the white noise is really important to drown out those noises if you move around in the room.
Yeah, and I mean, it's very interesting because white noise as well, like you said, it should be like a monotonous sound that's on throughout the night. But what's for me interesting is that sometimes people just have white noise in the room, and you can actually strategically put the white noise also at a good position within the room. Just like light, sound also travels. So you need to think of where the sound is going to. You don't ever want white noise right next to your baby's ear in their cot. Keep that in mind, because white noise, there's even studies that show now that long-term use of white noise can actually impact your hearing. So the decimal levels also need to be at a certain amount. So just be careful. That's actually what I'm trying to say is, and don't have it with your baby in the cot the whole night. Think of where the sound is traveling from. So if your baby is next to your bed, for instance, then you maybe want to filter it between the bed and your baby. Or from, if you're coming into the room, you want, obviously, the sound comes from the door area. So you want the filter, which is the white noise, to be between the sound of the door and your baby, because that sound is going to travel through the white noise and filter it out slightly. So that's kind of how you want to. So it doesn't help you're putting the white noise on the other side of your baby, and it's then door baby white noise. It's not going to have the same filtering effect. So just interesting on that note, when it comes to sound, how it travels, it does make a difference on where you place the white noise as well. Another thing also, when it comes to where your baby is sleeping and the sleep safety of it, we, again, Your baby can sleep in your room. They can sleep in their own room. But a big mistake, and it's not a mistake, or a big important thing that you have to remember is that you should always be placing your baby on their back for sleeping. Lots of parents feel that on the side is safer. And interestingly enough is that you have to remember that your baby does not have the ability to control their head movement, especially when they're small. So if they throw up, because that's parents are like, oh, if they throw up and they're on their back, then what happens? Their gag reflex is overdeveloped. So the spit out is actually going to come out of their mouth when they're on their back. Whereas when they're on their side and they throw up, they're literally lying in their own spit up. And that can be causing it. It's also increases the amount of carbon dioxide when your baby is breathing out within the cot. And that's also why it's important that, and now I'm very hindering you on safe sleep. I'm very, as you can hear, passionate about it. But you need to keep the cot area very clear. There's a reason why there's holes in the mattress. That helps with the airflow because, again, if your baby is breathing out carbon dioxide, it can build up within the cot area. If they're breathing up, the chances are higher that the carbon dioxide is dispersing and they're not lying in their own carbon dioxide. But that's why you don't want to cover the mattress with a blanket. It's only a sheet, no blankets over the bottom of the – because you want to keep the airflow. Also, there's a reason why there's mesh in a cot or open slants. It's for the airflow to happen so that carbon dioxide doesn't build up in the cot area because that is what can cause SIDS and things like that. Am I hampering on about anything you would like to add on safe sleep, Yanni, and scare people a little bit more?
I think just when it comes to safe sleeping, so if I think about questions that we often get, parents are scared their babies bump their heads if they remove the bumper. And your baby is maybe going to do that once or twice, but they are, you know, they are little human beings and they react to experiences and they learn from those experiences as young as they are. So I would rather be concerned about them not breathing properly than them maybe bumping their head once. And then other questions we get is when do I introduce a pillow? Usually they only use pillows really effectively once they move to a big bed. And even then they end up moving off their pillows. So it really is only in the toddler years after about 2.5 years that you need to worry about pillows. Loose blankets as well. Parents are like, but my baby's going to be cold. Unfortunately, when you've dressed your baby correctly, if your room is still cold, you need to heat the bedroom because you cannot wrap them in a lot of warm blankets.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, you are on Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And this is 101.9 High FM. And we're talking where your baby should be sleeping or where your child should be sleeping. We're not just talking about babies. Again, there's a lot of considerations when you talk about safety. If you've missed the show, please don't worry. You can still find it as a podcast on chaifm.com or on our app and go listen to this show and all the other shows. It's also not just my shows that have podcasts. All the other shows on High FM also has podcasts that you can go listen to at your own leisure. Today, like I said, we're talking specifically where my baby or my child should be sleeping. And my guest today is good night sleep consultant Janine Rudvik. And we're talking, yes, like I said, where your child be sleeping. And before we went to the ad break, Janine, you were also mentioning when to introduce pillows and all those type of things. And then you said only when your child moves to a big bed around 2.5, 3 years. Is that the recommended age? What's the reasoning behind it? Because some people do want to do it earlier.
Yes, often parents are tempted to make the move earlier because for some reason they hope that maybe their child's going to sleep better if they move them to a bed. I get a lot of clients that's like, my baby doesn't like the cot or they don't want to sleep in the cot anymore. It looks uncomfortable. It looks too small, whatever the case is. But unfortunately, when you make that move too early, it can be really difficult because when it comes to that age, sleep becomes a part of discipline and a part of boundaries that you create for your child, which is really important for their development. And when you do it too young, they are too young to understand rules of, I need to lie in my bed when it's sleep time and I need to be quiet. Where when they then see they've got that freedom to start getting up and coming to mom and dad's room, then it becomes really hard to, you know, to put that boundary back in place. Oh. So for safety reasons as well, you don't want your 1.5 or 2 year old roaming around the house possibly while you are sleeping, because that is obviously not safe.
Yeah. But I mean, it is also the other consideration is also that you do get these sneaky 2 year olds who want to climb out of the cot, and that can also be a safety That's risk. True. Yes. Is there something we can do to help either hinder that, or what should you do if that's happening?
So if your little one is under 2.5 and they start getting a little bit adventurous, so make sure you remove anything out the cot like bumpers or blankets or pillows that they can use as leverage, or sometimes something that's placed next to the cot, like a chair. They can also use that as leverage to climb out. So you want to move those things away from the cot.
I've even seen it like where they use the wall as leverage.
Yes. Yeah.
They literally push themselves like from the wall onto the cot and they use that as leverage.
Yes, exactly. And then for them also to be in a sleeping bag. So a safe baby sleeping bag is a really good thing just to get them used to, because it does stop them from climbing out early. And if you've done all of those things and they are still climbing out of the cot, you can then put them on a floor bed or what they call a Montessori bed, but then you need to change the room into the cot environment and they should still be contained. And the baby's room should then be 100% baby safe, because that is then the new cot environment pretty much.
Yeah. Janine, it's been so great to have you. And I think everyone has learned quite, I hope so. I hope we have informed people that about a little bit about the safety and the important things to consider when you're choosing where your child should be sleeping. But before you go, please, can you just let people know where they can reach you?
Yes, 100%. Thank you so much for having me, Yolandi. And I also hope that the listeners learned something valuable today that will be helpful to them. If you are struggling with your child's sleep, whether it is where they're sleeping or how much they're waking up, please do contact us on our website, which is goodnightbaby.co.za. You can also contact me on my email, which is janine@goodnightbaby.co.za. And do follow our social pages as well. There's a lot of information on there that can be helpful to your specific need.
Yes, great. Janine, thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Yolandi. You too.